thank you for coming out. I know the Lord, he also thanks you for coming out also. And I know he's going to bless you for it, for your effort. But tonight, if you will, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, I believe it is. Yeah. Chapter 24. I don't know if I preached this here or not, but I didn't. I promise you, you still won't come out the same way if I did. But we're going to be going down to verse 14. No, we're going to go back up to verse 11. Start with verse 11. And we're going to see some things right here that Joshua had done. We know that Joshua, he loved the Lord. And we're going to see some things right here where Joshua had done, and not only just for back then, it's for today too also. I believe it. What Joshua's trying to explain to us today is that we need the Lord. You know, I know the Lord don't need us, but I need him. And I'm so thankful that one day that I found him, and I found him exactly where he was at. I went to him and through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit introduced me to him. Because even if I'd have walked right in on him without the Holy Spirit, I still wouldn't even know who he was. But I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit introduced me to the Lord. And he introduced me to Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that. But here in verse 11, in the book, no, excuse me. In chapter 21, chapter 24. But it's speaking about Joshua, speaking about Jericho and Judea and all that. But it says right here, it says in verse 11 in chapter 24, the book of Joshua says, "And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Gebusites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hands, and I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor and dwell in, of the vineyard and the olive yard, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether they're the gods which your father served, that are the gods of the Amorites in the land, in whose land ye dwelt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our father out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserve us in all the ways wherein we went, and among all the peoples thou whom ye passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Verse 19 says, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. Verse 20, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. Our Father, we want to thank you today, Father. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here in your presence tonight here in the church. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are among the people that's here that love you tonight. And Lord, and I pray, Father, that you may fill my lips, Father, with your very words, Father, that can go out and touch the hearts of the people and touch my own heart, Father. And Lord, that we can be better Christians, we can be better servants for you. And Lord, we can hear your precious voice speak to us each and every moment of every day. And Lord, we do thank you for the reading of thy word. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that you will bless your precious word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. You know, God, he wants to stop you from serving strange gods. He wants to stop us. And rightfully so. Because God, He has our best interest at hand. He don't want us to be hurt by no one. He don't want us to fall. He don't want us to be caught up in the bondage that we was once in that at one time. Like the people that Joshua was speaking to, that was over in Egypt, which is in Egypt, it was a land, it was considered, and it was spoken about sin. There was in sin, there was in bondage. We was in bondage one time. But I'm so thankful today that I'm not under the bondage of Satan anymore. That I am under the separation unto the Lord. And I've been separated. I've been separated from this world. I've been separated from the things that are around here. Because there's some things out here, if I don't watch it and you don't watch, we'll go out and we'll grab a hold to it, because it's something that we can look at as desirable. And something we can say, and we'll, a whole lot of time we may say it, I need that. Do we really need that? If we don't need a roof over our head, and if we don't need clothes on our back, and if we don't need food on our table, there's nothing else that we need. The only thing that we need the Lord more today than we did yesterday. Me and Brother Bill, we was talking earlier tonight. And we was talking, and they was talking about insurance and everything. And I was telling them, I said, you know, I was getting kind of worried that one time right before the election. Because I was just almost positive that she was going to be the next president. But then I believe the Lord stepped in. I believe the Lord stepped in a way, because the Lord knows there's people down here that is hurting. And there are people down here that has been hurt in the past. They've been hurt in the past by the preachers. They've been hurt in the past by the members of the church. And they're still hurting today. And they don't know which way to go. And they go ahead and they'll try another church. And they come to find out that that church is worse than the one that they just left. Because why? They're not preaching the Word of God. But with all that said and done, it didn't make no difference. It shouldn't have made no difference to me who got it. It shouldn't have made no difference to me if all of a sudden Obama was in on it and he was elected again. It should have made no difference to me. Because I'm not serving Obama. I'm not serving Hillary Clinton. And I'm not serving Donald Trump. I'm not serving Congress. I'm not serving the Senate. I'm not even serving the mayor of Danville. I'm not even serving the governor of Virginia. I'm serving a one that has all the power. They don't have no power. They think they got power. They think that they got power, that if they speak it, it's going to get done. And the reason it does get done that way is because they've got the people scared. They got the people scared and worried. They was talking about insurance when we come in. And you know, everybody at this time of year is talking about insurance. And how much it seems like the insurance is going up. People's going to be paying more premium for insurance. It may be just, we may have to pay it one month. But now I heard it, and if he don't, if he does something else different than I heard him say on the TV, and what he said to the people around and everything, and all the people that heard it, then it's going to be on him. God heard it also. He said the first day he's in office, he's all the executive orders that Obama has passed. And he had passed laws where he don't have the authority to do. He don't have the authority to pass no laws. That is the authority of Congress and Senate to vote on and to get them passed. He just can't say, well, I think we ought to do this, and I'm not going to even take it to Congress. He won't even mention Congress. Why? Because he knows that Congress will not pass it. So he just signs his name. I think he loves signing his name. I think he just loves seeing his name written on pieces of paper. Because I don't know how much them pens are that they give him and they give the president when he go up there. But it's probably $100 or $200 pen, or maybe more than that. But I'm sure he has worn out more pens than any other president that we've ever had. But Donald Trump said, he said, I'm going to go in there, and where he's done wrote the executive order, and he got his name to it, he says, I'm taking my pen, that they're going to give me a box of them. I'm going to take my pen, and I'm going to mark through it. I'm going to mark through it. He said, because I can do that. I can do that on my executive order. If he wanted to play that role, then I can play the same role. And he said, I'm going to overturn everything that he's ever done. Because everything he's ever done, it had nothing to do nothing but hurt the people. It hurt the people. It hurt jobs. It hurt everything. And that's the reason that people today is hurting. You know, between now and first of the year, you're going to, and I hope and pray it don't happen. I really do. I hope and pray nobody will get to that point that they would want to take their own life because they don't have a job or because they don't have money enough to be able to provide for their family this Christmas. I hope and pray that they don't do. I hope and pray that they don't think that way. I hope and pray that we have some Christians that knows these people, that they would go to where they're at, and they would just tell them, God loves you. And then I know then. What we have to realize is they're going to come back with the question and with the answer. So if God loves me as much as you say he does, why has God allowed this to happen to me? To where I can't even provide for my family. I can't even provide for my children. And I don't have a job to go to. Why did God allow it to happen? Because God wants you for himself. He don't want to share you with no one. And he don't. God is a jealous God. He don't want to share us with Satan. But there's so many people today that will go and say, you know, I love the Lord. And I know he loves me. But why? Why did the individual where I worked at, why did he get up and just get rid of me? Now that I'm going back and then I already hired somebody else in my place. Why did he get rid of me? I was doing my job. That was just like Tom Blackwell when Tom Blackwell, Blackwell Motor Company, Daniel Crossville Plumber. And, you know, the Lord's taking care of it. But he called me over to his office one afternoon on a Friday at 5 o'clock. And I hadn't even hardly sat down in front of his desk. And he told me this. He says, I went home today at lunch. And when I went home today at lunch, I always go in there and I pray over my lunch, which, you know,
I don't know, but it's what he said.
And he said, I ate, and then I would lay down for 45 minutes
and take me a little nap, and then I'd come on back to work. He said, but while I was there, I really couldn't go to sleep. Somebody was speaking to me, and I could hear that audible voice. And he said, God spoke to him. Now, when he said that, I knew that right then that it didn't come from God, because I believe it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. Which, you know, I'm not going to argue with nobody about it. But he said this. He said, God spoke to me while I was laying down and told me when I got back to work this afternoon to call me over to his office and let me go. That's what he done. Hey, I walked out. I went and shook his hand. I said, thank you. I said, I've had a pretty good time working with you and everything. It hadn't really hit me all that much. But I got in my truck and I drove on home. And the closer I got home, the more it was sinking into me. But it wasn't sinking in that I just lost my job. It was sinking in that I was going to have to tell Shelby that I lost my job. I mean, he didn't come out with no reason why. But I didn't even have to tell him. I got out of my truck. I walked on the car porch. I unlocked the side door. And I opened the door. And I walked in. You know what she said? She says, you got fired today, didn't you? I said, well, yeah, let me go. And I could tell that it really bothered her a whole lot. And surely it would bother anybody. But I told her, I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That's because we're serving a God that is bigger than any job that I could find. And bigger than he was. By 3 weeks or 4 weeks later, I went to Virginia Bank, and I went down where I'd done all my banking, and I went in and I talked to him. And I said, you know, I just want to talk. I need to talk to you a little bit, see if we can't make some kind of arrangement or something. You know, I'm gonna be a little late on some payments. I'm going to have to readjust everything, stuff like that. And they said, okay, what happened? And I told them what happened. Then I had to go over to the Wonder and everything. And when I went to Wonder and cashed my final check, walked back out there and went away to speak to one of the officers there. Went on and spoke to him. Told him, I said, well, I'll see you again. I said, just take care. Individual, he loves the Lord, I tell you.
But I come out from behind the little glass wall there. Come out, and when I did, I come out and I was going to have to go right or go left, which, you know, I'm going to have to go left because that's where I come in. Guess who I saw come up out of the back of the building? Out of one of the other offices. Out of the president's office of Virginia Banking Trust. Mr. Block. He come out, and when he was walking down, and I just stood down. And I cannot imagine what he was thinking. But he was probably thinking about that, you know, that I was going to really give him a chewing out. Because he didn't have no right to do that, and I was going to get a lawyer and fight it and all that. But I come face to face with him. And I stuck out my hand. And he stuck out his hand, and I shook his hand. I says, "Thank you, Mr. Black. Thank you for what you've done. It's the best thing that anybody could have done for me." I said, "I've had more opportunity right now to speak to people and tell them about the Lord and tell them about what happened to me." And I said, "You know, since I've left, since you got rid of me and everything, four individuals has got saved. I've had an opportunity to lead them to the Lord." And I said, "Hey, you could say, well, what I had done was foolish and I should have never done it and everything. And I wasn't thinking right and everything. And I wasn't clear-headed and all that and everything." And he said, "Just come on back to work and everything. And I'm going to just give you a good raise and you come on back." He could have said that. And he said, "Well, I'm going to give you a $500 a week raise." You know what I'd have probably said to him? I said, "No, thank you." Because them souls that the Lord allowed me to be a witness to, and everyone else, is worth more than all the money that he had, all the money that Virginia Bank had, all the money that anybody else had. But, hey, I just went around shouting. I was praising the Lord. Yeah, I went out and I got me two other jobs and everything, and I worked at them, and it just didn't seem right for me and everything, because at the time, one job that I was on, and worked from 7:30 until 5:30, and then time I got off of work, when I got home, I was so wore out and I was so tired and beat and everything, and my feet was bothering me at the time, because I hadn't had surgery on my feet. So I just didn't feel right. I didn't feel good. I didn't feel good enough to even go out and visit anymore at night or any time. On Saturday, after I got home at 12 on Saturday, I didn't even feel like going out and visiting Saturday afternoon. Why? Because I was so tired. And one day, I drove up out there, and I walked in the place, and I punched the card. And as I was back there, putting up stock at the time, and then having to go to the counter and sell parts too, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, "Son," he says, "I know you ain't out here visiting as much as you was.
You ain't out here witnessing no more. I said, I know, and I'm sorry. I said, but I'm so wired. I'm so wired. Now, for anybody else, I don't suggest them to do it, but the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. He said, "Would I know?" He says, "Today, before you punch out, you go up and you talk to them, and you just tell them what's what. That you just didn't think it would be right for you to come back anymore." And I won't worry about nothing. I won't worry about where I was going to get the money. I didn't worry about Shelby. Didn't worry about Christy. They said, "You did." No, I didn't. I knew God was going to take care of them. You have got to have faith. That's the only thing that got me through it, is faith. And I said that, and I said all of that to say this. When Brother Bill called me and asked me would I come down here and preach for him on a Wednesday night, I said, "Sure." The Lord knew that I needed you. That I needed each one of you, because each one of you knew more about faith than what I did. See, I thought, but I did know about it, and I was practicing some of it. But still, even at the time, I would get home and at the end of the day, and I'd go in my study, and I'd start reading, and I'd start praying, and get to the point that I forgot about it, didn't even know what I was reading. I just didn't have the faith as that you have. And I'm saying all of that for this. The Lord knew what I needed. The Lord knew that I needed that could really teach me something about faith. You that are here tonight, and even Sister Irma and Sister Betty too, all y'all been coming here, y'all know. Don't you? You know what? I have learned that from you. I know my daughter always says that I always look at the glass as being half empty. I don't never look at the glass as half full. But when I come to church here, and since I've been here, I've seen where my cup, my saucer cup, is running over. Running over with the blessings of the Lord. You know where the blessing comes from? From you. Because of your faith. The
people I hear that just come when they want to come or something like that, or just come when we have something up there to eat or something like that, they really don't understand what faith is all about. They don't know what true faith is all about. You do. You know what it's all about. That's the reason you're here. That's the reason I don't have to worry about you not showing up. You know, if you don't show up, it's because you're sick. Yes. If somebody's sick in a church, if they got a cold, if they coughing, or if they sneezing or something like that, to me, I would rather for them to stay at home, take care of themselves and get better, than to come to church and then spread it around. Because if you come to church and spread it around, if it's on Sunday morning, it's a good chance on Sunday night, you know, you may feel bad and you won't come back. And it's not that I'm worried about that you don't come back. I just want you to get better. See, the Lord knew that I needed that. The Lord knew that I needed you. See, the Lord knows exactly what goes on. He knows exactly. But we need to bind ourselves together, seeing more people saved, being a better witness for the Lord. Because He has done so much more for us. I could go out here right now, and I could start right here tonight, and I could go from day to day, 24 hours a day, for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years, as long as the Lord leads me here, and I can go out here and knock on doors. And I can tell people what the Lord has done for me. And the Lord will do the same thing for them. And I still wouldn't even get to the point to where I could really come up and say, thank you, Lord. I couldn't say one thing. I couldn't even be able to thank Him for one blessing. Much less everything else He's done. But He tells us that we must give Him thanks. And I'm so thankful that I'm a part of you. I'm thankful for that. I'm a part of you. Because I don't know where I'd be at or what I'd be doing if Brother Bill had never given me a call. See, Brother Bill gave me a call because that's what the Lord wanted him to do. See, the Lord knew that what I was going to be going through, that my legs were going to get weak and I was going to start falling and everything, all this and everything. Lord knew that I couldn't be able to handle no church that had 100, 150, 200 people or 75 people or something like that. Lord knew I couldn't handle that because I didn't have the strength and the health to do it. The Lord led me here. Because when I heard that Brother Moore had left,
come right down here, and I parked the car right in front of these lower steps right here in the parking lot. And I come up here, and I stop at the second step. And I bowed down and I prayed. I said, Lord, if this is where you want me to be, you open the door. Because, Lord, if I open the door, I won't be there long. But, Lord, if you open the door, I will be there until we go home. We've got to. I was telling my wife tonight, before we even left to come into the church, and I'm going to close with this, Lord have mercy. But I was telling her tonight, we was coming down here, or at home right before we left. I said, I'm looking forward for 2017. And I'm looking forward to it. I have no idea what God's going to do. But I do know one thing. He's going to do something unexpected to us that we don't know anything about. He's going to come to us, and he's going to come like we're that, like the thief that he speaks about in the Bible, where he's speaking about the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus is going to, he's going to return just like a thief would. Just like a thief would come in, and when he come in and when he robbed me at my house, when he broke into my home, what did he get? He got the best that we had. It what he took. He won't come in and get no junk. He won't come in and get no kerosene heater that looked like it'd been used and everything, been using it for 25 or 30 years. No, it was brand new. Had never used it. Got it that afternoon. The day before. Had a full tank of kerosene in it. They wouldn't even leave the kerosene. They took it too. I mean, they could have poured it out there on the ground, but they didn't do that. But you know, God's good, isn't he? He's better than that. He's great. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that God, that you can. And Father, and you do have ways to where you can teach us about true faith. And Lord, and I thank you for each one of these individuals, Father. Father, for what they have taught me about faith. And Father, in just what they have taught me about your faith that you had in us. And Father, you do have faith in us. Yes. To go out and do what you saved us to do for. Now, Father, we also can thank you for allowing us to have the faith that we have in you, that we can go out there and do it. And you will do what needs to be done. We thank you and we love you tonight. With everything that we have. I'm expecting great things
And if I wasn't expecting it, I would not say it. I believe it, Lord. I believe it's going to come about, and when it comes about, it's going to come about in so big of a much of a change that we're going to start wondering ourselves, can we do this? No, we can't do it. But God can through us. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.